T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Flash, right now.
9 a.m. from the 105.7 FM, the Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on the Fan, Major League Baseball is officially back for real this time. They'll hold opening day either July 23rd or the 24th. Players will head to training camp in about a week from now after the league and the union on Tuesday agree on health and safety protocols that will govern the sport as they attempt to return amid the coronavirus pandemic. It'll be a 60-game season that'll run through September 27th, feature a number of new elements, including Universal DH and the same 10-team playoff structure they've used for almost a decade now. Los Angeles Lakers guard Avery Bradley has opted out of playing in the NBA's Orlando bubble. The restart of the season, he told ESPN on Tuesday. Bradley, who started 44 games for the Lakers this season, informed team management of his decision. The Lakers will now be able to sign a replacement player for Bradley, with free agent scorer J.R. Smith emerging as a leading candidate, sources tell ESPN and Woj. The FBI has determined that NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace was not the victim of a hate crime and that a pull rope fashioned like a noose had been on a garage door at Talladega since as early as October. NASCAR made a statement on Tuesday. 3 Colorado Rocky players have tested positive for the coronavirus. A source told ESPN's Jeff Passan. They confirmed the report by the Denver Post, including outfielder and all-star Charlie Blackman. You can read more online at 1057fmthefan.com. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere, download the radio.com app, and favorite The Fan today. Coming up, it's a commercial-free hour of the Bart Winkler Morning Show. We talk with Eric Edholm next, Yahoo Sports, talk some NFL football, and then at 9:30 a.m., we talk Major League Baseball and the return with Bob Nightingale, USA Today, radio.com sports, Major League Baseball insider. It's all coming up on a commercial-free hour here on The Fan.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll talk some football with Eric Edholm coming up in just a couple of minutes. Bob Nightingale, radio.com sports, USA Today insider. He will join us at 9:30. Our conversations with radio.com insiders brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podfriends. You can go listen at radio.com/Dell, radio.com, the free app that not only connects you to our station, but music stations in the town, sports stations around the country, podcasts as well. A lot of good stuff on there. The radio.com app also accessible with your smart speaker. There was a video going around within NFL circles yesterday of Haha Clinton Dix. He had a close encounter with some bears. He was on a scooter, and then he ran into some bears, and he did what anybody would do. He freaked the F out. So he came in contact with a former logo. I forgot he was not on the Bears. You said you were looking at a lot of rosters. Like, I forgot Haha Clinton Dix was a Cowboy.
Do you see that encounter that he had with the bear? That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen him that nervous since Gronk was coming his way, that game when the Patriots were in town at Lambeau that the Packers won.
All right.
Tried to tackle him up high.
Let me reward you
with the...
I don't need the audio. Oh.
You gotta do the bottom.
My jokes aren't as... Yeah, yeah.
They're not good?
No, they're still great, but right. I gotta keep things more PG now, I've been told.
Oh, really?
By corporate.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Mr. Milwaukee ratted on us, I think.
Oh, geez. Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Eric, welcome back. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, no, you guys just reminded me. I've been working on this haha tackling Bears joke for like 12 hours. I can't quite get there. I'm so close.
Well, there's plenty of game footage that you can look at, and
that's what I mean. Yeah,
it will help
I saw
you.
Last year, missed a bunch, so I was. I've been workshopping this joke for a while. I guess it's meant to be someone else to figure out.
Eric Edholm here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Again, Great Midwest Bank, has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. The news of the week in sports has been the returning of leagues. We're going to get an NBA schedule later this week. The NHL is getting down to the two hub cities that they're going to pick. And then Major League Baseball has announced they're going to try to come back. Sort of in the shadows right now, at least, is the NFL, where there's still virtual training going on. When are these guys going to be able to report, do we think, to their facilities? If there's going to be a season, there needs to be a preseason. If there's going to be a preseason, there needs to be a training camp.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a two-game preseason is very likely, and that most people seem to support it, obviously, in these conditions. I mean, what that means going forward, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it's likely going to be a little later than we're used to, I think. I mean, I don't know that for certain, but the NFL clearly has the distinct advantage here of watching these other leagues come together and figure out how they can learn from their mistakes and what works and what doesn't. So I think that's obviously, you know, benefited them to this point and will do so going forward. So I don't know. It's likely going to go a little smoother than maybe some of these other leagues do as they're kind of figuring things out on the fly. But, you know, that's why a lot of these executives and decision makers get paid big money, is to solve problems like this and hopefully make the best of a bad situation and potentially, you know, keep as many people out of harm's way as possible.
I wonder if you're the NFL, how you figure out the most likely ways to keep COVID-19 out of your league. I saw the prototype for that helmet. That's like a NASCAR helmet that these guys could wear. But, you know, the NFL is such a contact sport. Even when you found out that Rudy Gobert had it in the NBA, you looked, well, who was he guarding? Oh, Christian Wood, Pistons. Oh, Christian Wood tested positive for COVID-19 coronavirus. So with the NFL, it's so high contact that if you have one guy, like let's say David Bakhtiari has it and he plays a game, everyone on his offensive line is going to get it. Everyone in that huddle is going to have it. Everyone on the other defensive line is going to get it. It's going to be very hard to contain the virus if it does get into the league.
Right, and that's what they're trying to prevent, obviously, by, you know, quarantining. And I think, obviously, the more lag time you have and the more limited contact you have outside of the team is going to be crucial. It's just going to put a cramp on some people's family lives and you know, just their everyday activities. There's no doubt about it. I mean, until we, you know, get to a point where we have even better treatment for it, or, you know, fingers crossed, there is a vaccine at some point, which, you know, I know Dr. Fauci's kind of gone, you know, all points on the spectrum at one point or another, but he seems pretty confident that by the end of this calendar year or by early 2021, we could have one. Now, that doesn't obviously eradicate everything. There could be mutations of the strain, everything else, but it's at least a step in a great direction. But all the points you just laid out are absolutely true, which is the biggest concern, is that there will be, you know, this wildfire-like effect, that if you let somebody slip through the cracks, and these tests are not 100% perfect either. I mean, I know with about 99%, you know, certainty that my wife got it, because she's in the medical field, and, you know, she had 2 weeks of really bad symptoms, wasn't feeling good, all the classic COVID symptoms. She tested negative in real time and also negative for the antibodies. So, you know, there's cracks in the system. It's flawed. It's not going to be 100% proof. So these are the worries that keep people up at night as they try to bring these leagues back.
Yeah, and we keep hearing all these different rumors, like, and it's hard to keep up with everything that's going down, but maybe limiting the preseason to just two games. I would argue with teams not being able to get together, unless you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now, like, wouldn't you argue that a four-game preseason is necessary this year? I just think it's going to be such a sloppy product come week one.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, obviously, the only real comp I think we have in terms of preparation-wise is 2011. We had the lockout. You know, I don't remember the exact date when they sort of figured things out. It was around July 20th, I want to say. And then all of a sudden, you know, teams were sort of being thrust back into action. I think they were about a week late, that late. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not 100% sure, but still did have the full preseason that year. And yet it was a strange season. Everybody thought, oh, the defenses are going to be ahead of the offenses. No, it was the opposite. It was, you know, Eli Manning throwing for 5,000 yards and Cam Newton having an all-time season as a rookie and Andy Dalton starting 16 games and leading the Bengals to the playoffs. So it was a strange offensive explosion that year when we thought the opposite would happen. I don't know. The one other bad thing that I remember specifically from that season was the high influx of Achilles injuries. Now, there may have been other injuries too, but I remember writing about this at the time. You know, Achilles injuries were up, I think, a couple 100% that year, and it's the idea that, you know, without sort of the proper training, I think these guys work hard on their own, but, you know, if you kind of ramp up too quickly or get into things without the proper off-season conditioning, you know, you're more prone to these things, especially if you suffer one of those things before. So the injury worry, I think, is something that teams are quietly worried about outside of the COVID stuff.
I would almost say to try to definitely shorten the preseason, but maybe not even have it and just have bad football for the first 4 weeks. Because I think that every time that you can get two teams on the field, you've got to take advantage of that. We don't know what things are going to look like come November and December. There's a very real possibility they play 9 weeks and then have to shut it down again until February. So I would argue against the preseason in all cost.
I mean, you know, obviously there may be a discussion about that. There may be some debate about whether this is a wise thing to do. It could be that preseason games are held with zero fans, very limited staff, you know, the bare minimum possible. You know, they're televised because obviously the league wants to recoup as much of that money as possible. But, you know, it's possible that they play two or zero. I don't know. I mean, the honest answer is that it's likely to be reduced, but I don't know that we're going to go to zero. I mean, I haven't heard anything on that sort of wavelength yet. So we'll see. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, I think the NFL has this sense of, we can learn from what the other, you know, sports leagues are doing. But that said, football is a different sport with different, you know, problems that will arise along the way that are not going to be compatible with baseball or hockey or whatever.
I have to at least pretend there's going to be a season just to keep me sane, really just for my mental health. So let's pretend that there's going to be a season. Where does Jamal Adams play this year? Do you think he's going to be a Cowboy?
Maybe. He and Haha, I guess. Yeah. I didn't think about that. But, clearly, the timing of the Dak Prescott tender signing was interesting because, you know, he almost kind of holds their feet to the fire a little bit because of that number. What was it, $31.5 million? Or off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Yeah, it was around there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no chance they're bringing him in with 30, you know, $5 million plus invested in the quarterback position. You know, too much of their cap is taken up. They would need to sign him to a long-term agreement, I believe, short of cutting somebody else or making other moves, in order to fit him under the cap and to make this work. I mean, Adams wants a contract too. So it's possible. I also think there's a part of Joe Douglas who says, I don't necessarily want to be the Jets GM. I don't want to set a precedent here and just say, oh, well, player says he wants to go. Let's just trade him away. And all of a sudden, you know, other Jets of note, I know there aren't a ton, but you know, could follow that same path. He's a young GM. GMs don't like to set these kind of precedents and then let the players kind of, you know, dictate the action, and the agents can point to it and say, well, this guy traded, you know, was offered something. I just don't know that they would get back what they want, too. They used the sixth pick in the draft. I know it was before Joe got there, but, you know, I mean, he's a good player, no doubt about it. But are they going to get what they feel he's worth? I don't know about that.
Right. We love him here in Green Bay, obviously, even though we already got Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage Jr. We really want a wide receiver. I saw the report, former Raiders Steelers wide receiver Martavis Bryant trying to get back in the league. Do you think that that's a possibility? And do you think, for the love, like, is there just a chance that maybe Brian Gutekunst just makes a phone call and we could actually get a wide receiver here other than Jake Kumerow and MVS and St. Brown, guys of that such?
I'm not ready to give up on some of those young guys. I get the angst about what happened last year and then sort of the disappearing act of MVS. But my guess is no, but I don't know that. You know, it's not like I've talked to the Packers specifically about that. So it's hard for me to really say. I think there's some suspicion about Bryant in general. Maybe not to the level of Antonio Brown, but Antonio Brown has a lot more talent too. So, you know, it's kind of a interesting thing. If he's willing to take a minimum deal with you know, money that's hinging on him performing well, maybe that's the kind of the contract or situation that would entice the Packers or some other team to get involved. But, you know, if he's looking for any kind of guaranteed money up front or any kind of significant cash, I don't know that that's going to work out for a lot of teams. I still think there's a little bit of a suspicion carried with Martavis Bryant at this point.
Eric Edholm joining us, Yahoo Sports. You recently wrote about there's a change in the top of the ownership structure for the Lions, passing it down within that Ford family. Are we going to see a change out of the Lions? Or I got this email from NFL Communications. I just said, okay, I don't care. I deleted it. But is it a significant change in direction in Detroit? Could they actually use this to maybe, I don't know, be good again?
They're winning 10 games this year.
Well,
yeah, I mean, look, Detroit is an interesting team. I don't think they're good yet. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff. But, I mean, when Matt Stafford was playing well last year, and when he was healthy, he was at a high level. And I mean, they had some close losses, some games where they were really competitive. Now, trading, you know, getting rid of two members of the secondary didn't help their defense at all. So, as far as the ownership is concerned, you know, when they decided in January to bring back Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, the edict was sort of a playoffs or bust kind of thing. It felt pretty ironclad, like, you know, black and white, right? You either make it or you don't, and then you're gone if you don't. So, you know, Sheila Hamm sort of backed off of that a little bit, or at least hedged a slight amount yesterday, kind of saying, well, with COVID, with everything we're facing, you know, it's a little different circumstances this year, so we're not making any guarantees. But it's still clear they expect very obvious improvement for both of those guys to be back next year. You know, they had winning records three of the last 5 years. It's crazy to think about it. They made the playoffs twice. This is one of their better 5-year stretches. If you throw last year out, obviously, I mean, you know, they've been a competitive football team. They obviously haven't taken that next step. It's baby steps, right? This is a franchise that's been mired in a slump for when was Bobby Lane? 57. So, you know, we have to go back a little bit to really get the heyday of that franchise.
Well, they did. The Lions did lead the Packers in both games for the full 120 minutes.
I don't think they lost the game by more than two scores.
And they
year.
Lost both games at the buzzer. So they certainly have been competitive to Green Bay, of course, with Hail Marys and last second field goals.
And you look at teams like that are competitive and lose games close, and you say, can they make that jump the next year? That's one of the first things I look at when I do my season predictions, because sometimes luck is involved in these victories or losses, you know?
Clear me up on what's going on in Chicago, because I thought my assumption was Mitch would still start and then they'd go to Foles when they needed him. But I look at some of these Vegas odds, and it's like Foles is almost guaranteed to be the week one starter, according to sports books.
Yeah. I mean, my feeling was this when they, especially a month later after they made the Foles move, it was pretty obvious. Like they paid up to get him, right? And the familiarity factor, having worked with, I think, three members of the Bears staff, like John DeFilippo and, you know, some of the other guys who worked on the offensive staff who, you know, spent time with Nagy and Andy Reid and Philly and things like that. I think even the 1 year that Foles was a backup in Kansas City, there was some overlap there as well. But, you know, that, I understand why you'd want to, in this of all off seasons, want to say, let's bring in somebody who can pick up our offense very quickly, who knows it, who has sort of a background in it. That made sense. But to take on his deal, to give up a draft pick to do so, when, you know, other options were out there for far less in return, Cam Newton being one of them. You know, it just sort of felt obvious to me that this was more than just a wake-up call for Mitch, that they believe that, Foles has a great chance to beat him out. We'll see. I mean, Mitch has sworn that he's going to come in, you know, and win this job and that everything's cool between him and Foles, but it's hard not to think that Foles is going to have a great chance to win it if he plays the kind of football Nagy expects.
We appreciate your time. We will be in touch closer to what we assume will be an NFL season. Be safe in the meantime, and we will talk soon.
Yes, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Eric Edholm joining us again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can check out his work, Yahoo Sports. Again, has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Really, really good deal going on right now with Windows Select. Buy one, get one free on Windows. Buy one, get one free. I am trying to think. I am racking my brain of the last time I had a buy one, get one free on anything. Maybe a bag of Gardettos I had a coupon for? What's the last buy one, get one free you had on anything?
Lap dances at Spearmint Rhino in Las Vegas, actually, on my bachelor party.
Oh, look at that. So that's how rare it is to find a good buy one, get one deal. Windows Select has that for you. And that's not all. They also have no payments till 2021 on their products. And this week, they have upped the ante a little bit. Free installation. The installation cost waived. Windows Select, local. These guys are Milwaukee-based. They will do your replacement windows, siding, doors. They're in Menominee Falls. They've proudly been serving Wisconsin homeowners for many, many years. And they've got products that are very high quality, energy efficient. And they all come, too, when you get these windows. You got a double lifetime warranty. So buy one, get one, double lifetime warranty, no payments until 2021, and this week, free installation. Do take advantage of this. These guys know their products very well. They'll be the ones to do the installation. They'll come out to your house initially and go over the estimate with you, and they don't charge you for that either. So they'll come and do that, figure out what you need. You can look at the different options. And again, all of their products, high quality and energy efficient, which is going to help in the long run even more. WindowsSelect.com is where you want to head online. WindowsSelect.com, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. Do check them out this week. If this is on the menu for you this year, get it done. At least get that call in. That free installation offer only comes around every so often. Take advantage now. I know you're like, I'm going to do it. That company Bart talks about, Window Select, I'm going to do it. I'm going to push it just a little bit to make sure you get all the deals that they have for you. Window Select, again, buy one, get one on Windows. No payments till 2021. Free installation. That's windowselect.com. Maybe the layoff for the NBA, a blessing in disguise for the Bucks. Details on that as we continue to recap the season, taking you back to December when the Bucks beat the Lakers at Fiserv Forum.
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucks' return back to the championship.
Middleton, running three. God, he put it down. Wow. The lead, the biggest tonight for Milwaukee. 14-2 Bucks run.
Bucks did not have much time to dwell on the loss to the Mavs a couple of nights prior that ended their 18-game winning streak, but they started a new one against the LA Lakers. 111-104 the final. Bucks pretty much in control of this one the entire time. Took it out to a big lead early and continued from there. A big star in this one, Giannis Antetokounmpo. 5 threes, a career high.
A lot of fouls on the floor. Antetokounmpo. Three. Good.
Wow. And you got Giannis out here looking like he's Ray Allen.
Yeah, the thing we've been talking about is just his confidence is growing. The willingness to take him is just the first step. And, you know, then I think he's going to have results. You know, he puts the time and effort in. Just really happy with just, you know, you feel it in him. You see him where I think, and they're big shots too. You know, momentum's changers or you know, to put us back up, you know, double digits or 14 and force a timeout. So I'm just really pleased with where he is on his three-point shot and his mentality there.
We let him get to the three-point line a lot. They made a lot of, you know, threes in that second quarter. We had some really good deflections, but we couldn't come up with the loose ball, and they was able to capitalize off of that. So, you know, you take away the second quarter, you know, we played an exceptional game, you know, especially being at the end of a road trip. But it's a really good team, well-coached. They play exceptional basketball. And, you know, that second quarter, you know, pretty much got us.
Coach Mike Budenholzer and the Lakers, LeBron James, Bucks making 16 threes in this one. Three from George Hill and three from Wesley Matthews, who was also key defensively on LeBron in this game. But Giannis, 5-for-8 from distance, 34 points, 11 boards, reflecting after the game. This is a kid, he says, I'm on the floor with Anthony Davis. I'm on the floor with LeBron James. I'm not supposed to be here.
I think the most important thing is try to stay humble. Like, you know, when you win MVP and you win 60 games, it's hard. Like, you feel like, okay, you know, what else? But at the end of the day, you know, like, I realize, and, you know, my family realized that I'm supposed to be here. You know, I wasn't number one pick. You know, AD was, you know, like, LeBron was number one. Like, I wasn't supposed to be here. I wasn't supposed to, you know, go against these two beasts. So I'm just happy that, you know, I'm here. I'm happy that I'm going through the process, and I'm always want to, you know, be better, do better for my team, and that's what gives me joy. You know, like, winning games, that's one, but improving and, like, seeing the result at the end of the day, man, like, you know, all these shots that I made today, I've made these shots like 4 or 5 years ago, you know, and seeing them going into tonight, you know, that gives me joy. That makes me want to work in other parts in my game, and that I can make those shots in 3 years from now, you know. That's what fills me up, you know. Enjoy.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, who, if you remember, at the end of the season, that's why we're doing this, because the season was a long time ago. That win over the Lakers, that was 6+ months ago. That was in December. I'm excited to continue to recap these games, because coming up, we will have the Christmas Day game to recap. Remember when the Philadelphia 76ers won the Christmas Day championship? Basically, what happened was the Bucks are trying to win the WWE championship, and that's what the prize is. The Sixers beat the Bucks on Christmas Day. They thought they were the champions. They won like the 24/7 championship is essentially what they did. So I'm excited for that. But the Bucks, they lost 3 of their last 4 games heading into this hiatus, and Giannis missed 2 of those games with that minor joint capsule sprain in his left knee. Mike Budenholzer quoted as telling Jackie McMullen, Horvat, your girl.
My girl.
Who's to say how things would have gone if we kept playing? I'm not sure it would have been safe to say that Giannis wouldn't have missed a couple of weeks. Could it have been less? Maybe more, maybe. But the great thing is he's healthy now. We don't have to worry about it. He's so tough. He heals quickly, but he would have felt pressure to come back sooner. So you got to look for any silver lining you can in 2020. And maybe there's some silver lining here that Giannis can now be fully healthy. And I go back to, again, what Eric Name told us is not even the health, but he's going to come back and have about a 3-4 month break where he hasn't taken just a beating when he goes into the lane. So his body's going to be more fresh. A lot of these guys, for the most part, you're seeing guys like Luka pack a few on. You're seeing guys like Harden take a few off.
Yeah.
So it depends on what route you took. But Giannis, I mean, he's working out constantly. I don't know how much he's got to a hoop, but I know that he's, you know, working out a bunch.
Yeah, like, I was wondering how Jokic lost all that weight, and then I saw these videos from his homeland, the way that they party. What a weird party, by the way. You got a guy playing the saxophone. I'm pretty sure I saw a guy doing the worm. Like
this, I did not see.
Oh, you didn't see this video?
No.
Well, it's not. Jokic isn't really there. It's all the tennis players.
Cause he got it from the tennis guy, right?
Yeah, and they all had this huge party, and guys are just sweating all over each other. It looked like, honestly, I haven't been out in 3 months, and I still wouldn't want to go to this party. But like I said, there's a guy like playing the saxophone. It looked like, have you ever seen From Dusk Till Dawn? Like right before they shut down the party, and everybody like turns into like werewolves and starts eating all the people. Selma Hayek's there. Oh, Selma Hayek. Sorry, what was I talking? Selma Hayek?
Did you see who Giannis tweeted about last night?
Selma Hayek?
He did not. He tweeted about someone just as hot, at least from distance. OJ Mayo.
Oh, yeah. He said he's a walking bucket or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, O.J. Mayo, there is a video of him back in Taiwan because they're playing basketball, and it doesn't look like – well, there's some fans there. But in Taiwan, O.J. Mayo's playing. And I've wanted O.J. Mayo back on the Bucks since the day he was not on the Bucks. I would love to see that happen again. It doesn't look like this season's an option with him in Taiwan, but I think that would be cool. The other player news as of note is – no Avery Bradley. No Avery Bradley with the Los Angeles Lakers. He has decided he is not going to come back to this quarantine season. He's not going to play. So that's some big news. LeBron James, without Avery Bradley, they may go ahead and get J.R. Smith. We'll talk to Bob Nightingale, USA Today, Radio.com. We'll do that next.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Cammy McCormick. New cases of the coronavirus in the U.S. have surged to the highest level in 2 months. On Capitol Hill yesterday, health experts said they're preparing for what's ahead. Dr. Anthony Fauci.
None of us have ever been told to slow down on testing. That just is a fact. In fact, we will be doing more testing.
Fauci was asked about President Trump's comments at a recent rally in Tulsa that he had considered slowing that testing. In Phoenix last night, the president continued along that theme. CBS's Laura Podesta.
Kung flu.
Cheers broke out at a student-run rally in Arizona as President Trump used the derogatory phrase to refer to COVID-19.
27.5 million tests.
The president expressed displeasure with how the high number of tests has led to a high number of reported cases.
We want to do testing. We want to do everything. But they use it to make us look bad.
New cases in the U.S. have been surging now for more than a week after trending down for more than 6 weeks. More and more companies say they'll temporarily stop advertising on Facebook. Here's CBS's Peter King.
The reason appears to be concerns about misinformation on protests against police brutality and racism, and the social media site's failure to flag President Trump for putting out misleading statements as well. Eddie Bauer, Magnolia Pictures, Ben & Jerry's, Patagonia, The North Face, among companies that have pulled Facebook ads, at least temporarily. One media buyer tells the New York Times they may be forced to go back, however, because they need to rebuild their businesses.
NASCAR says it's relieved the FBI found no crime related to a noose hanging in the garage of NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace. The FBI says it had been there for months. But Wallace, in an interview on CNN last night, said he isn't buying it.
We've raced out of hundreds of garages that never had garage pools like that. So people that want to call it a garage pool and put out old videos and photos of knots as their evidence, go ahead. But from the evidence that we have, that I have, it's a straight-up noose.
Wallace is NASCAR's only full-time black driver. Major League Baseball is returning after a lot of back and forth with the Players Association. Here's Steve Futterman.
Opening day is set to take place on either July 23rd or 24th. It will be a 60-game schedule. Players will report to their training camps on July 1st. There will be some major rule changes. The National League, for the first time, will have a designated hitter, and extra innings will start with a runner at second base. It will be the shortest baseball season since 1878. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
On Wall Street, Dow futures are much lower. This is CBS News.
105.7 FM, The Fan, Bart Winkler, along with Ryan Horvat. 12:50 on the AM throughout Southeast Wisconsin and everywhere on the Radio.com app. We bring in from USA Today and one of our Radio.com MLB insiders, Bob Nightingale. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. You can check that out, radio.com/Dell, or just search it on the radio.com app. Bob, we've been chatting. I know you've been on the station a bunch and stations all over the country on that radio.com app, and there's been speculation, and we've had dates, and we've had plans. This one finally official. How good does it feel for you to be able to say that instead of be like 99.9% sure it's official and then see hours later that it was never official?
Well, I'm certainly glad not to write the word prorated again anytime soon or this and that, and the word negotiations. So, yeah, it's a good time for everybody. I think once spring 2.0 starts and the season starts, you know, I think people will forget about the animosity and hostility, you know, that went on for the last few months and, you know, start turning on their favorite team.
You know, I kind of agree, and I kind of think that's why maybe after the outbreak in some of these spring training facilities, they're willing to do this. If you look back and you don't have a season, and it was because of the finances, that's a disaster. But now if baseball, even if baseball today says, you know what, we've looked at the plan, there's some players they tell us they're not going to come, we can't do it because of safety, we will forget all about the back and forth, and it will be safety that is keeping the season away from us, which really it should have been in the first place, Bob.
No, you're absolutely right, Bart, in the sense that if there's no season because of the virus, hey, people can certainly understand. If baseball stops in 2 weeks because of that, people understand. But you can't just shut down the season just over money, you know, not in this climate, you know, not with over 100,000 deaths, you know, 42 million unemployed people, what's going on in society. It's just nobody would have had a stomach for it.
Talking to Bob Nightingale, USA Today and Radio.com, MLB Insider. It's going to be a different season, obviously. It's only 60 games. The scheduling is a little different. It's still 20 interleague games like you get every other year, but now it's like the Brewers are going to take on the AL Central and NL Central and no NL East, no NL West. There's also some differences with the DH and the extra innings. Is there a rule, do you think, that will be, or a new like way of play that's going to be maybe the hardest for managers and players to sort of get used to, and especially for fans too? I ask because I look at this, you know, the DH, we've argued about that forever. DH, no DH, fine. I could go either way. But this second base extra innings thing where you start a runner on second, I think that sucks. I don't like it. So is there one that you think is going to be the hardest for like fans and managers and players to grasp?
You know, the rule, it went into effect during the winter or during the spring, and it's not being talked about, is the rule that goes into effect this year where a reliever or a pitcher, that I should say, has to face three batters minimum without coming out unless you have an injury. So, you know, when the Craig Council brings in a reliever and he starts to struggle, you know, people are going to start yelling, hey, you know, take him out of the game. No, you gotta face three batters. So I think it's going to be tough on managers because obviously they've never had to do that before. And particularly in a short season like this, you know, you lose 2-3 games in a row, it could be devastating to your playoff hopes. So I think that's going to be a real hard rule for managers to, you know, get used to, especially in a short season. Because a manager messes up a couple games in a row, hey, that's you know, every game's worth, what, 2.7 now of the normal season. So you lose, you know, 3 games in a row, it's like losing 8 in a row.
Yeah, I don't like that one either. I'm glad you brought that one up. I don't like that one either. I do think that some of the, like, other really specific things about players, what they can and cannot do. Like, all right, you can't bring sunflower seeds and spit those out, fine. But to tell a pitcher he can't, like, lick his fingers, or there's some of these things that are so, they're going to be hard to police. I can't imagine if Brandon Woodruff's out there and he licks his fingers that the umpire is going to stop a game and like punish him somehow. How tough can baseball police some of the real minute things that they want to enact?
Well, I think it will just be kind of, hey, don't forget, guys, you're not allowed to do this. You know, of course, guys are going to spit. And if a, you know, Christian Yelich is a walk-off homer, you know, I can't believe someone's not going to forget and, you know, jump on him or something like that or high-five him. That's going to happen. Even, you know, little, or not little things, but, you know, when you're on the road, they tell you, you know, don't shower in the clubhouse. You know, once you get back to the hotel, don't take Uber, don't take Lyft, don't eat at the hotel restaurant, don't even think about using the hotel gym or the swimming pool, you know, things like that. You know, you can't police that because helping guys will be smart about it and, you know, and help prevent, you know, the virus coming back. I mean, it's scary when, and here's baseball celebrating the return yesterday, and within minutes is the Colorado Rockies saying, hey, we have our four-time All-Star Charlie Blackmon and two other guys test positive for COVID, and now we got to shut down Coors Field.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm watching is, and specifically I'll bring up Brett Anderson, pitcher now for the Brewers. That story came out, and then he used Twitter to quote tweet, awesome, obviously sarcastic. He also tweeted the other day, what happens when we all get it? And he's a guy who maybe he doesn't think that this is worth it or safe enough. In the NBA, I think you're seeing a few guys that aren't going to come for different reasons. Do you expect a lot of guys in baseball to maybe sit this season out? I know that if you are high risk, you're going to get paid. If you're not, you're going to have to go through the club because, like, if you live with someone that's high risk and you're worried, maybe on a case-by-case basis, they still get paid. I wonder if there's going to be a bigger exodus than we're anticipating of players that look at this and just say it's not for them.
You know, I don't. I really don't. I think we'll have less than a handful of guys who opt out. And I think those guys will be, you know, health risks or, you know, worried because they have a pregnant wife or a young family. I don't think anybody's going to do it for financial reasons. Because, you know, look, hey, with a 60-game season, everybody's got a chance to make the playoffs. So you can't look at your teammates in the eye and say, hey, see you guys next spring. You know, then you're alienating the fan base, kind of ruining, you know, any chance for endorsements or marketing. People don't forget those things. So, I think just maybe a couple for health risk only.
There is still a trade deadline. It will be August 31st. I'd have to think that this is going to be the quietest trade deadline ever, as we talked to Bob Nightingale. Because not only, you know, is it if you're trading for a guy, it's like a month rental instead of 2 or 3 months. But if you're trying to keep everybody safe and in these little, like, sort of bubbles and you only interact when you're on the field, to have a guy uproot his family right now during these times, it just doesn't seem like – I would almost be fine if they said no trades this year.
Well, even if there was a thing where the environment was completely safe, COVID, you know, disappeared magically, I still think it would be the quietest deadline ever. Because, you know, all we hear about the trade deadline is, man, I don't want to give up any prospects for a two-month rental. Well, in this case, you're talking about a 27-day rental. In the prospects, nobody's seen this guy's play since last, August and September. So, who knows if these prospects took a step backwards or even better. So, I'm with you. I think there'd be just a handful of dull trades.
Are you expecting things to look a little different with starting pitchers? I'm trying to think, like, I brought up Brandon Woodruff before. And so if you have 60 games and he's going to start every fifth day, you're going to get about 12 starts for one of your better pitchers. I would think that maybe we see some of these arms, they're better arms, like in high school ball, where the best arm is the closer. The best arm comes in at the back end of the game. Or you manage where, all right, Brandon, you give me 3 today, and then in a couple of days you give me 4. So we can get more games out of you. This is one of the reasons why Craig Counsell's never really decided Josh Hader as the closer. He wants to get more games, or as a starter, I should say, because he wants to get as many games out of him as possible. I wonder if that's sort of something we see this year, if you've heard any discussion about that.
No, you're absolutely right. Managers are going to manage like it's a playoff game. They're going to manage with a ton of urgency. So, you know, like we saw the Washington Nationals do last year on their World Series run. They were using starters relief all the time, whether it was a Max Scherzer or a Patrick Corbin. We're going to see starters go 3-4 innings, and a few days later, just like you suggested, you know, come in middle relief. Who knows? Maybe you'd have Josh Hader start a game. So, I think we're going to see all kinds of crazy stuff happen just because every game is so important now.
How bad do you think things would have to be with the COVID outbreak for this July 23rd, 24th date, whatever it is, to not happen?
Well, I think it would have to be a widespread thing on a number of teams. And widespread, at least 10 type guys. Remember, we have 60 guys in camp, so that's the purpose of it. And you're going to have a 30-man taxi squad, to pluck from. So it would have to be pretty bad, and I think it would have to be widespread, too. So with what happened to the Phillies last week, they wouldn't say, okay, baseball's being shut down. Yeah, it hurts the Phillies, but, everything keeps going on. So I think it would have to be real bad for baseball to just wave the white flag.
Well, at least, in this conversation, we talked a little strategy again. That's good to talk about. I may not be checking your Twitter feed as much as I was the last month, no offense, but you guys have done a good job. So, Bob, keep up the good work, and we will be in touch with you again soon.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Bob Nightingale joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline again, one of our radio.com MLB insiders, brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell.
The Bart Winkler Morning Show.
Ryan Anderson, voice of the Brewers, Fox Sports Wisconsin, among a whole bunch of other stuff. Are you prepared, BA, for a world where you're calling more games not from the site of those games?
I do feel like this is kind of where TV's going. I think, you know, networks are trying to cut expenses and they want to be able to put more games on or have more programming, more content on, and this would be one way. So all of these networks, they were all somewhat prepared to do this, but maybe not thinking it would be this level. They had kind of had some test runs, and then when COVID-19 comes down and everybody's in quarantine, now it becomes a real possibility that we could be doing games like this. And, you know, fortunately, we've been able to test it out enough to be comfortable that we're ready to do it.
It's the Bart Winkler Morning Show, weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan, a radio.com sports station.
.1057 FM, The Fan. Good stuff from Bob Nightingale. The full interview will be on Fan On Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Also, the radio.com app. Little Everlong by Foo Fighters.
My favorite band all time.
Really?
Yeah, them, Nirvana. But, I'm just a big Dave Grohl fan.
Foo Fighters has a lot of good songs, but they also have a lot of songs that I'm like, ugh.
I love Dave Grohl, though. Dave Grohl is, in my opinion, I think he's one of the greatest musicians ever because he was the drummer of my favorite band, Nirvana, and he's the lead singer of the Foo Fighters. And he was on Howard Stern, and they were asking him, I've probably told this story, where they asked him if he thought he was a better musician than Prince. And he's like, no, Prince is a better drummer than I am. I thought that was a good story. You know who loves Prince?
Seth Everett.
Yes.
Is he on the station today? I don't think so.
Probably.
Zach Baughn is at 105, the Badger linebacker, former Badger, now drafted. He will be on with Bill at 105. Evan Heffelfinger's also here. If either of you guys saw the video, don't spoil it. I want you guys otherwise to guess. This is a cover of Everlong that made the waves on social media a little bit this weekend. Do you know who I'm going to play or do you not?
I don't know.
Do you know who I'm going to play?
I think I do, but I do.
Oh, how you wanted it to be. Over my head, she sang. Come on.
Is this Post Malone?
No. And I wonder. Not a bad guess.
Well, he did like a whole Nirvana.
I sing along with you. Everything would ever feel this real forever. Everything will ever be this good again.
This is Rick Astley.
Who? Really?
Only thing I ever ask of you. Gotta promise not to stop when
it's
I
good.
Say you win.
I say. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Hey,
never gonna turn. Or the Rickroll.
Hey, what league is Manchester U in?
Are you kidding me?
Are they in the Premier League?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sorry. On with the show.
The Foo Fighters and Rick Astley did a song a couple years ago where it was like a combination of Smells Like Teen Spirit and Never Gonna Give You Up. I don't know if you remember that one.
I
Never
don't.
Gonna give you up.
It was good.
That no, music video still stands the test of time.
Yeah, and then Together Forever is a good one. I don't know if you guys know that's jam.
Jack Johnson?
No.
That's Rick Astley.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm
Together
always thinking.
Together Forever, Never Apart. That one.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was a jam. That was a jam.
Or a banger, I think. Banger is what
banger.
People say now.
Yeah.
Banger. Evan, you're excited. You're wearing a Brewers shirt today. You excited baseball's coming back?
Sure.
The Brewers.
I mean, I love baseball. If you had told me even a week ago that they would somehow find a way to be back before the NBA, I would tell you you're crazy. I'm not a massive fan of what they agreed on. I feel like the players still kind of got the short end of the stick, but hopefully that makes it a little bit better for them in the next collective bargaining, but it's baseball. I mean, we have a season. That's something to talk about.
Forgive me for being a little cynical, Because I think what has happened here is they have, as Bob Nightingale said, I'm with them, they've taken the conversation away from the players versus owners. I mean, I think I've talked to Tim Allen on the show once a week since May, and I do that because I love Tim. He won't say it back to me, but I do love him. And he'll be hopefully on 60 post-game shows this summer.
It's the only reason I'm really happy about baseball coming back for Tim.
Yeah, he needs it. And actually, maybe even more if they do go to the playoffs. But I've had him on to talk about a variety of different subjects. It always goes back to players versus owners. And it was tiring having that conversation. But it was the conversation in baseball. So now the owners have put out the season. The players say yes. So now the money stuff, at least for 2020, while we won't forget about it, it still was part of this season. They have agreed on a season, and there's going to be dates. So what could still happen is the owners, they can be July 15th and say, guys, really, this COVID thing's out of control. Charlie Blackman and, you know, whoever else has it, we don't feel safe putting you out there. We are not going to have a season. And so now it becomes about safety, whereas it was before about money. So I love that there's a date for hockey now. I love that there's a date for the NBA. I love that there's a date for MLB. My gut feeling says they will all start and I think finish. But it's like 51-49 because any one of these leagues, you know, can have a hard time dealing with the spread and then what do you do? Or we could be in a worse situation where guys do pull out. Even a worse... Well, it's usually... Don't look at him.
I did not. I'm just excited for my picks today.
No comment. Jeez.
I'm just excited for my picks today.
But the other thing is, like, let's say in the NBA, they play a season, there's a little bit of an outbreak, and let's say it's supposed to be the Bucks versus Lakers in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Caruso and George Hill both have COVID, and they can't play. You're still going to play the finals.
Well, don't tell that to Lakers fans. They think Alex Caruso is like the next coming of Scottie Pippen for some reason.
But what if it's LeBron and Giannis, and right. That's it? Do you still play the finals?
No, I think you have to delay that, especially if you get to the finals, right?
Just do like
that's not fair to George Hill.
Do like they did that one All-Star weekend where it's just you have Giannis and LeBron play horse.
Yeah, and George Hill's a bad example because he's going to be running the show because Eric Bledsoe is going to be on the bench.
Okay, yeah. What is a better way? Let's say only Giannis and LeBron have COVID on NBA Finals week. What is a better way to determine a champion? Have the LeBron-less Lakers face the Giannis-less Bucks in a seven-game series or have a seven-game one-on-one series LeBron versus Giannis?
I mean, I'd realistically rather watch the one-on-one series.
Well, I would rather watch it, too.
Or just have them go off of regular season record.
That I would like, too. I wouldn't be fine with that. But LeBron and Giannis could play because they both had COVID.
I mean, if you get to the finals, just delay it another 2 weeks.
Yeah, what's another 2 weeks? But you know.
I know. Like, honestly, though, what is another 2 weeks at this point?
What's another 2 weeks between friends?
What's it been? 4 months? It's been 100-plus days?
It's been 84 years.
It's the longest stretch of no major sports consecutive since 1918. Remember, in this business, we used to dread the All-Star break.
Yeah, everybody was taking their vacation.
You take vacation during it. You do not, because you don't have a game to talk about. What are you going to talk about? You're going to do Mount Rushmore. You're going to do LeBron MJ. You're going to do Pete Rose Hall of Fame. You burn all those topics out by Tuesday, and then you hope that something crazy happens in Major League Baseball, like a stupid tie or something, so you have something to talk about on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there's just a scarcity of things to talk about.
Yeah.
We've been going through it for 4 months.
I know. I was going to say, like, for us, like, now, All-Star break in the summer, that'll be nothing. You know what I mean? Because, like, every single day, I'm like, here we go. Another proposal. Another Mount Rushmore. Jordan versus LeBron. Universal DH.
Tiger King recaps 3 months after the fact.
Right. We're so used to it now that, like, I can talk Premier League. In fact, I just placed two wagers. Manchester United and my Wolves today, by the way. Both moneyline picks.
See, but at that point, do you think that, like, that we'll be allowed to talk about that kind of thing?
Who knows?
What, Premier League?
Yeah.
We did 30 minutes on it yesterday to end the show.
Did you guys?
Yeah.
Sam, too? Is he in it?
Yeah, Sam and Mitch and I did it on Monday.
Well, I think Mitch watches soccer, though.
Yeah, he said on Monday that his favorite team is Man U, and I said, you idiot, they play today. And I was wrong, it was Man City.
Yeah.
So I'm the big soccer guy, and I didn't even know. But there's two windows today. I think there's 12 o'clock games and 2:15.
Yeah.
I looked at you when you said Wolverhampton because they beat West Ham over the weekend. And they had some dude come in. I don't know if you watched that game.
I did. I hammered them, too.
It was like, I forget his name again, Torre or something.
Yeah.
He's a huge dude.
Yeah.
He's like 6'6". He's twice as muscular as any other player.
Yeah.
And he's fast.
Yeah.
And they didn't put him in
he's
until
like
the 75th
player.
Minute. He
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to trade for him and never buy him in every FIFA that I've got.
Yeah.
And he had two crosses and there were two goals. And West Ham just got embarrassed. So the Wolves, I like them, especially if they play that guy. West Ham played yesterday, looked absolutely terrible. They lost again to Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
They Took give them. Up an own goal.
Thank God, actually, because I needed that. What I hate is you can't just take like the money line because it's like the team you want is always like minus 400. So you got, like, for today, Man U, I have to take the spread, minus 1.5. And they do it like it's like minus 1.25. I'm like, what the hell is the difference? So sometimes I'll win, it'll be 2-0, and I'll think I have it like a run line, you know? And I'll lose the bet. There's a way you can only win half of the bet, too, which I hate. Like, I had a $100 bet the other day, I only won 50 on it. Do you like Man U today or no? I feel like there's going to be
Sheffield?
I feel like there's going to be so much scratch on Man U. I don't think Sheffield's going to be able to score on them.
Let's see. You got Norwich City, who is maybe even worse than West Ham, which is impossible because West Ham is garbage.
Who do they play?
Everton. I'd take Everton there.
Oh, I did. Minus 110, I got them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bournemouth sucks, too. I need them to lose. But I do like the Wolves. I think the Wolves are a good team. I'll take the Wolves.
Okay.
Aston Villa also blows. Man, there's some teams I need to lose today as a West Ham fan against Newcastle. I might take a draw there. What do you got for the draw? I might take a draw there.
I don't even know.
Man U, like, I would take over Sheffield.
Okay, good.
And Liverpool came out.
I'm leaving that one alone.
They can win the title today.
That's going to be a draw.
But they didn't score the other day. I would take them to win.
How do, like,
they're going to win the title with a win.
You know what I don't get? How do, like, there's the best players on the planet, and, like, their teams can't score for some reason. Like I told you about Ronaldo missing that penalty shot.
Scoring a goal is hard. It's very hard. It's a very hard thing to do. That's why they celebrate so much.
Well, then I don't want to hear that they're the best player. I've never seen LeBron James go scoreless in a game. I'm just kidding. Come on now.
That's a good point, though.
I mean, that's my only problem with soccer, though.
It's
I feel like
when Tony Snell
playing.
Had no stats in 27 minutes.
That was a fun game.
They forget to add his five high fives, which are outlawed.
And he had multiple pickups of players where he was the first one there within
two
seconds.
Yeah, he was the lead leader in that.
Oh, you know what? We didn't even talk about that today. I mean, we talked about, like, spitting and stuff, but, okay, walk-off homer in Major League Baseball, bottom of the ninth to win the game. You can't mob the guy anymore, rip his jersey off. You can't even give him a high five or a fist bump.
Well,
there's an Astros joke in there.
Yeah, so in the Premier League at first in Bundesliga, they weren't doing that.
Now they're like, yeah.
But yeah, now they are like when they score goals. Yeah. Now they kind of have gotten to the point where they are doing that. I actually do want to see what a parlay would be for the games I just said.
Toss it in there. If it's something beneficial.
Now, I can't bet, remember, because I told the service to never let me bet again.
Yeah, we did that with one of my buddies. He was a degenerate, so he had to put his name on the list. So now, like, even if he gets hammered and we try to take him to the casino, they're like, nope, Brad, you can't come in.
Yeah. So I would take draw in Aston Villa.
And you can't take yourself off the list, which is weird.
Yeah, I told him. I said to them, too. I said, at some point, I will try to get off. Do not let me.
Yeah.
Oh, can you put $10 on for me, though? I can win 160.
I'll do 20.
Okay, on my parlay?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll try it out.
We'll,
if so, I'll give you like 40 bucks, 50 bucks.
You could retire off of that.
Son, I get half.
I honestly made more money on golf this weekend, Evan. You were out with Webb Simpson.
Here's
winning
my parlay.
Plus 3,300. I made more money off golf this weekend than I have in this establishment in like 3 months. So betting golf is very, very beneficial. Okay, what do we got here?
You got Man U to win.
Yeah.
Everton to win.
I'll do this, but I feel like Liverpool goes with a draw. Somebody will screw us over. I hate parlays, man. I do, because like UFC the other night, I had this parlay and my first five fighters hit. And then in the main event, all I needed it to do was go under. Of course, goes over. It would have won me like, I don't know, $1,200 or something like that.
Tomorrow, the three of us will have a little trivia to take part in. That will happen at 8 a.m. We're also going to connect with Andy Herman at some point this week. with the Pack-A-Day podcast, Cheesehead TV. He has watched every snap of Jordan Love in college. That sounds terrible.
We want to give him our condolences first.
We'll talk to him about that experiment. And we should have a good one for you again tomorrow. Bill Michaels coming up. Rick Astley and Everlong. Going to leave you with a little bit of this today. Because we could either do one more minute on soccer or play this. I've made the decision. We'll be back tomorrow. Horvat in the pregame show. 5 a.m.
Come down and waste away with me. Down with me. Slow how you wanted it to be. Over my head, over my head, she sang. Come on. And I wonder when I sing along with you, everything I'll ever feel is real forever. Everything will ever be this good again. Only thing I ever ask of you, gotta promise not to stop.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.